Here's what's coming up in the Category 5.tv newsroom. PayPal has confirmed that a researcher found a high-severity security vulnerability that could expose user passwords to an attacker. Hundreds of millions of Broadcom-based cable modems are at risk of remote hijacking. Apple is now selling rack-mountable cheese graters, and the PinePhone Braveheart Edition is available now for early adopters, and we'll tell you about the $150 smartphone from Pine64. Stick around. The full details are coming up later in the show.
This is the Category 5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Robbie Ferguson, filling in for Sasha Rickman this week. Some quick honorable mentions. Last month, Citrix disclosed a critical security hole in both its application delivery controller and unified gateway offerings. Up to 80,000 systems were thought to be at risk, with some 25,000 instances found online over this past weekend. Those admins who haven't put mitigations into place by now will want to make sure that they address their situation immediately, as InfoSec researchers have now publicly declared and shared working exploit code for the remote takeover bug. Now, the proof of concept code can be used to trivially achieve arbitrary code execution with no account credentials. In other words, they'll be easily able to hijack systems. If you haven't put in place the mitigations by now, and you have vulnerable systems facing the internet, you've probably already been hacked, since bots have been mass scanning the net for machines to compromise. These days, with ransomware, for example, being such a key issue, I can't reiterate enough, keep your firmwares up to date. Could you imagine if somebody was able to compromise your modem? That gives them access to every device, every single device on your network. And if any one of those is accessible with RDP or with Samba shares, right? Like file sharing. Your server probably has file sharing. Well, now, all of a sudden, guess what? You're done. Keep those devices up to date. Speaking of security, support for Windows 7 is now over. For security software updates and other reasons, it's time to stop procrastinating. Make sure that you move to Windows 10 if you're going to stick on the Windows platform. Microsoft support for Windows 7 has officially ended, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to Windows users. Microsoft promised just 10 years of product support when Windows 7 was released back in October 2009. Can you believe it's been that long? And now they've shifted to newer technologies. As of January 14th, Microsoft is no longer offering technical assistance or software updates to your device. And the company has encouraged people to upgrade to Windows 10 to keep their PCs and laptops secure. Your Windows 7 computer will keep working, but Microsoft will not provide any security updates or fixes, or even technical support for any issues. That leaves your computer at greater risk for viruses and malware that may circulate to take advantage of any of the flaws that are later discovered. That's why it's important for you to switch to an OS that is newer. Security vulnerabilities are discovered for the discontinued OS, and hackers will create tools to exploit those vulnerabilities. But Microsoft will not patch those issues. Without security updates or fixes, you're putting your computer and other devices on your network at risk. If you're a Windows 8.1 user, extended support for that OS won't end until January 2023. Windows 10 was released in 2015, and extended support for the latest version of the OS is until 2025. This could also be an excellent time for you to try out Linux. I got to throw that in there, right? While an upgrade to Windows 10 might require you to upgrade your hardware too, Linux could breathe new life into your existing computer. You can remove the discontinued Windows 7 and replace it with Ubuntu or Linux Mint absolutely free. All right, let's get into the top stories that we're following this week. First of all, PayPal has confirmed that a researcher found a high-severity security vulnerability that could expose user passwords to an attacker. The researcher, Alex Bursan, discovered the high-severity vulnerability when he was exploring the main authentication flow at PayPal. His attention was drawn to the fact that a JavaScript file contained what looked like a cross-site request forgery token and a session ID. He says, quote, providing any kind of session data inside a valid JavaScript file usually allows it to be received by attackers, end quote. If a user fails to log in several times, pardon me, they have to solve a CAPTCHA at that point. And once they finally authenticate and PayPal noted, quote, the exposed tokens were used in the post request to solve the CAPTCHA. PayPal said, quote, if a user followed a login link from a malicious site similar to a phishing page, unquote, that's all it takes. Follow a link from a site, log into your PayPal account, and you're done. However, Burson said, in the real world of social engineering attacks, quote, the only user interaction needed would have been a single visit to an attacker-controlled web page. And that's the end of the quote. Within 24 hours of the bug's confirmation by the HackerOne bug bounty program, PayPal had patched the vulnerability. Bursan said, he was rewarded with a bug bounty worth about $15,300 US. And the thing that we have to keep in mind here, okay, so this is an exploit that is on a site like PayPal. So if you followed a link and created that session cookie, that could have been compromised. I mean, you click on that link in a phishing scam email, right? And you think, oh, well, this is a phishing scam. I'm going to back away. Well, it's too late. You didn't even log in and it's too late. That's what we're up against here. So any of your staff who has access to your PayPal account now clicked on that link and has that session cookie in place from a malicious site, and then later legitimately logs into PayPal after having gone through the CAPTCHA process. I guess that's the exploit itself. You have to fail the login a couple times, and then when you get it right, that's when the hacker gets your credentials. Well, you know, how does that affect me? And how can I prevent that from happening? I think it really comes back to password managers. Because you think, how do you enter the wrong password for PayPal three times to the point where you need to enter a CAPTCHA? You're probably typing it in. And if you're typing in your password to PayPal, it's probably too easy. If you can remember your password to PayPal, it's too easy. Can you remember your password to PayPal? If I sent you to paypal.com right now, would you be able to log in by typing your username and password? If that's the case, you are a potential victim. You are easily exploited through this type of attack. I don't know my credentials for PayPal. My password manager ensures that my password for PayPal is so obscure and so secure that even I don't know it. When I go to paypal.com, I log into my password manager with my secure password, which is a password recipe, and then it enters. It fills in the information for PayPal so that I can log in. If you're not doing it that way, then you are wide open to this type of vulnerability. And I need to encourage you that, hey, you need to understand the value of a password manager. It's not about, can I remember my passwords? That's not what it's about. It's about being able to create passwords for sites like PayPal, where your money resides, where they have access to your checking account and your credit card. It's about having passwords that are so secure that even you don't know them. That's the key point about a password manager. A vulnerability in Broadcom's cable modem firmware has left as many as 200 million home broadband gateways in Europe and potentially more worldwide at risk of remote hijacking. A vulnerable user would simply have to visit a website or even open an HTML file that contains malicious JavaScript. This code subsequently connects to the web server built into the vulnerable modem on the local network. The script then alters the contents of the modem's processor registers by overwriting the stack to redirect execution to malware smuggled in by the request. At that point, the code can attempt man-in-the-middle attack, which allows the hacker to gain access, for example, to potentially sensitive information sent to or from the user's internet connection. The miscreant can also use the exploit to manipulate the firmware, change DNS settings to redirect connections to web pages, and they can redirect to anything of their choosing. So no doubt phishing versions of every bank and social media site would be something that they would think of. They can snoop on traffic, launch distributed denial of service assaults, and more. In other words, this is a bad one. Once exploited, an attacker can use the modem to do pretty much anything they want. Broadcom says that the exploit code was patched last May, but it seems clear that the fix was not widely adopted by users. In their tests, the Cable Haunt team were able to compromise a large number of SageMCOM, Netgear, Technicolor, and Compal models, for instance. Since Broadcom chips are in many brands of routers and modems, it's important for you to make sure that your firmware is up to date so that you don't get compromised now that the exploit is known to hackers. Apple has begun selling the rack-mountable variant of its Mac Pro desktop computer. Starting at just $6,500, the rack-mounted Mac Pro is identical to the tower version in terms of specifications, and it comes in the same hardware configurations as well. It has the same ports, it's laid out the same inside the case, and it has the same rear connections. The differences from the tower variant are entirely in the case itself. This variant of the Mac Pro forgoes the wheels or stands of the tower model in favor of stainless steel rails that allow the device to be mounted horizontally in server racks. It also has a removable lid instead of the fully removable frame seen in the tower. Additionally, the handles are on the front for easy removal from server racks, and some other elements, like the power button, have been moved from the tower top to the front rack. This Mac Pro is intended for inclusion in render farms, as a server, and other commercial and professional uses. I could certainly see in the render farm. I mean, I work in video all the time. So having something that's able to do my rendering that's that powerful, but does it have to be a Mac? Could it be a Linux machine with Blender running? That would be sweet. Let's go that route. The PinePhone. Oh, you knew I was going to get here, didn't you? Pine 64. Let's just take a moment. The PinePhone is an affordable Linux smartphone created by Pine 64, the makers of the PineBook Pro laptop, the Rock Pro 64, and Pine 64 single board computers. The Pine Phone specs, price, and design are all tailored towards keeping it a super low $149. So that puts it in a spot all its own. The Pine Phone is built for Linux enthusiasts and developers who can appreciate its privacy focus and open source software. Don't expect it, though, to be on par with the latest and greatest smartphone, right? The goal with the PinePhone is to provide a reliable, open, and hackable smartphone platform powered by Linux. The Braveheart Edition is available now, and it's intended for enthusiasts and early adopters only. we'll call it a first pass batch. It does not ship with Linux installed. You'd have to actually do that yourself from one of the beta builds that are available. And the handset has a few differences to the final run units, mainly related to the antenna and the placement of the 2G signals. Soon the Pine phone will be available as a complete phone, preloaded with a Linux-based mobile operating system. There's no specific release date, but as soon as there is, we'll be sure to let you know. So make sure you subscribe and click the bell to receive notifications. Big thanks this week to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us. Thank you for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your favorite tech news with a slight Linux bias. And if you appreciate what we do, please become a patron of this particular segment of the show. It's patreon.com/newsroom. Please show us some love there. That would mean a lot. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Robbie Ferguson, filling in for Sasha Rickman.